Good morning, brothers and sisters. I have proposed to see with you this morning the prophet Malachi and the two last chapters, chapter 6 and chapter 7. And I have the title, God's Plea Against Injustice and Bad Behavior of His People, and His Mercifulness Toward Those Who Repent. I have asked to our brother Peter Jacobson to help me to read the long passages to facilitate the speed of the presentation. But I have retained two verses here. The first is chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. But before starting the plan is this: I will first give the introduction and the context of Malachi's book, and first God's plea against God's plea against His people. First response of the prophet. Second plea of God, and the announcement of punishment. Second response of the prophet, and perspective of the future for the repentant, and the conclusion will follow. First, the context of this book of Malachi. The date the book of Malachi was prophesied in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Ezekiel, around 700 years before Jesus Christ. All these three were king of Judah. Jotham came to power after the prosperous reign of his father, Uzziah. He was a good king, but he failed to remove idolatrous high places. Jotham was followed by Ahaz, a wicked and very bad king, whose reign on Judah was threatened by the forces of Assyria and Syria. And his reign, the kingdom, collapsed. He was followed, replaced by Ezekiel, who was a good king, who opposed successfully the Assyrian and the Syrian with the help of God. What is the theme in Malachi's book? Malachi exposes first the injustice and the sins of the people and the rulers of Judah. These sins relate to the oppression, bribery among judges, prophets and priests, exploitation of the powerless, covetousness, cheating, violence, and pride. In the second part of the book, Malachi predicts the judgment and the restoration that will come as the result of these sins, in contrast to the righteousness and the justice of God. Finally, the third part of the book, in the first part, Malachi presents a message of hope, as God's justice will triumph and the divine deliverer will come. In addition, true peace and justice will prevail only when the Messiah will reign. What is the contribution of Mackay book to the Bible? Some scholars consider Mackay as a Isaiah in miniature. The two prophets addressed the same people and problems. And sometimes the people think that one copied another and so on, but they have the same source, the Holy Spirit, and we can understand that. There are few examples here that I mentioned, but I will not read them. Mackay was quoted a century later by Jeremiah in 26:18. And Mackay also is quoted by the Lord in Matthew when he sent his disciples. He says, Mackay also quoted many books. He is also quoted in many books of the New Testament. In Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, he is quoted there. Let us see one quote I have retained. Mackay 5:2 mentions the birthplace of the Lord in the first advent, as quoted in Matthew 2:5-6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. As well, some verses of Mackay suggest the second advent and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ to reign in justice. Let us see now the chapter 6 and 7. The first part is the plea of God against his people, and I invite our brother Peter to read that.
Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord.
Thank you, brother. So God calls his people into court and chooses their nature as witness at that court. God has a complaint against his people Israel. He contends with him and invites him to plead his case. God asks his people, Israel, what he has done to him to deserve the people's bad and sinful behavior. Mountains, hills, foundation of the earth are mentioned as witnesses for the case before the court. God reminds his people some of the good things he has done for him. Redeeming Israel from Egypt, choice of good leaders such as Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, and saving Israel from bad kings like Balak, who requested the help of Balaam to fight against Israel. So Balak found that Israel was very strong, and he sent people to invite Balaam to help him to fight Israel. But God sent an angel who told Balaam not to do that, and Balaam didn't go. That is in Numbers chapter 22. Then the first Marcus replies, brother,
with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?
Yeah. Here, Mark is wondering what he or someone else, like the people of Israel, should do to please and appease the God's anger for the people's sin. What should I do? What should the people do to please God, to appease his anger? Will animal sacrifice offering be sufficient to calm God's anger for the sins of Israel? Could a high quantity of oil, he says, river of oil, and be enough to please God and calm his anger? Could the offering of the firstborn child be sufficient to please God and calm God's anger? Mark gives the response to all these questions. God has already let known what he is pleased to from his people. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 19. But Mark summarized that in three words, the three expressions. Act justly. First, acting justly means doing justice. Fairness is one's relationship with others. Fairness means treating everyone in the same way without favoritism or discrimination. And the second is love mercy. Ryrie, who has written many books and comments, speaks about love and compassion for this expression. It is love and compassion as the loyal, steadfast, or faithful love, meaning communion, deliverance, enabling, and enlightenment, guidance, forgiveness, hope, and preservation. Then, finally, walk humbly with God. Walking humbly with God means putting God in the first position, in the first place in our lives. What is the place of God in our lives? Do we put him in the first place? Jesus' truth about justice, love, mercy, and humility before God are present in the Lord's teaching. For example, about the Beatitude, his teaching on the mountain. If we read these Beatitudes, they speak about these things. His response, summarizing the Ten Commandments in two biggest ones, in Matthew 22:35-40, if you look at these carefully, you will see that they are there. His prayer model given to apostles have also these things. In Matthew 22, then one of them, a Pharisee, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." He outlined all these things. There are some scriptures in the Old Testament that have the same meaning, or the meaning close to what Micah's response that we have seen. Can we read Deuteronomy 10 from 13, please?
"And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes.
Thank you. And can we go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 from 21?
But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.
Thank you. And Isaiah chapter 1 from verse 10.
Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow.
Thank you. And Jeremiah 7:21.
Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you.
Okay, thank you. And Hosea 6.
For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings.
And finally, Amos 5.
Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph.
Thank you, brother. So, as you have seen, many things have been said before. So the prophet was right to say that I have already told you what you have to do to appease me. Then God's second plea against Israel and announcement of the related punishment in Mark 6 from verse 9.
The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod, who has appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the short measure that is an abomination? Shall I count pure those with the wicked scales, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For her rich men are full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Away, but I will also make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, and shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. You shall sow, but not reap. You shall tread the olives, but not anoint yourselves with oil, and make sweet wine, but not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done, and you walk in their counsels, that I may make you a desolation, and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore, you shall bear the reproach of my people.
Thank you. So the Lord's voice cries to the city. This is the prophet who is speaking to the city. It is the voice of the Lord's that cries to the city. The Lord's voice, in the prophet Micah, cried loudly so that everyone can hear in the city of Jerusalem, that was at that time the metropolis of wealth and sin, and therefore the head and heart of offenses to God. It would be wise to hear his voice when considering the one, he is God, who has himself chosen the road. It is said, wisdom shall hear the road who has appointed it. He refers to God. The moment and the circumstances of this punishment. A list of sins committed is enumerated. Treasuries gotten by wickedness and dishonesty, such as bad scales, wrong weights, violence from rich men, lies by people, the people had degenerated to the low level that characterized the days of Omri and Ahab, who were the very bad kings. God's punishment of people is announced, sowing but not harvesting anything, eating but not being satisfied, inability to save own people in any way, being reproached instead of being glorified as people of God. Second response of the prophet to this situation, Mark 7 from verse 1.
Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires. The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchmen and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father, daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household.
Thank you. Who is me? Mike laments in his vain search of the right person. He compared himself to the vine dresser who enters his vineyard late in the season and finds no fruits. Otherwise, he did not find any upright person in Israel. No one could be trusted. All princes, judges, the great united in the ill, and this not once only, but they are ever doing it at twist and intertwine it. The prince asks for gift. The judge seeks a bribe. The great man utters evil desire. The prophet, in his despair to find a good person, predicts the near days of punishment. He observes the perplexity in Israel, as people do not trust each other, and the man's enemies are the men of his own family, his own household. The Lord Jesus Christ quoted partially the verse 6 when he recommissioned the 12 in Matthew 10, verse 35 to 36. Confession and repentance come then. Matthew 7 from verse 7.
Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Israel's confession and comfort. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. In the day when your walls are to be built, in that day the decree shall go far and wide. In that day they shall come to you from Assyria and the fortified cities, from the fortress to the river, from sea to sea, and mountain to mountain. Yet the land shall be desolate because of those who dwell in it, and for the fruit of their deeds God will forgive Israel.
Thank you, brother. Here the prophet gives the words to Israel. He speaks at the place of Israel, or speaks for himself. I will look to the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. The salvation comes from God, from himself. Then Israel comes with a message of confession. Salvation comes after confession. Confession of its unworthiness and trust. Israel recognizes its sins and accepts the related punishment from God, who is just and righteous. God punishes, but rightly. Thanks to his justice and righteousness, God will bring Israel forth to light and forgive people. At that moment, the enemies of Israel will be covered by shame. Israel will then assist to the destruction of those who were mocking her by powerful fighters coming from different parts of the world. Then there is the promise of final salvation after the confession in Micah 7 from verse 14. Brother.
Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in days of old. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of you, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old.
Thank you, brother. This is the reading from New King James, all these readings. Micah prays for Israel, petitioning the Lord to shepherd and feed his people. Israel, like a flock in Bashan and Gilead, the most fertile territories in the east of Jordan.